Good afternoon, brethren. I can remember when I was a kid, there was a lady in our neighborhood that we thought hated kids. Every time we would ride our bikes by her house, she would come out onto the lawn and throw things at us and yell at us. She would go completely nuts. We were afraid of her, but we were a little bit mean and rode by there just to torment her. She was probably afraid of us because we tormented her. You know, looking back on that, she may have had certain fears of physical problems. Something might have been going on in her life that made her behave that way. I don't know. But we were just being kids. Fear. Fear is one of the most powerful of human emotions. I don't think there's anything more powerful than fear. Fear can become visible in many different ways and can cause an otherwise normal person to behave in a completely irrational way. Fear can be a powerful means of motivation. It has been used throughout history to oppress and restrain people. Fear can even be powerful enough to cause someone to abandon their other fears. That's hard to believe. People have entered burning buildings to retrieve loved ones and even returned again and again until everyone has been rescued and brought to safety. It is possible to be completely consumed by fear and worry until a person loses their ability to function normally. There are some people who are so fearful that they cannot bring themselves to leave their homes. I think this lady was that way. You know, she wouldn't even leave her home. And all of the kids in the neighborhood knew about this lady. We thought, wow, this is the thing to do, is go. She'd run after us and throw stuff at us. You know, it's not God's desire that our lives be filled with worry and anxiety. Christ made it plain that we are not to worry and fear about our situations and things yet to come. Yet we do. Let's go to Matthew in chapter 6. Matthew in chapter 6 is a very familiar scripture. Matthew 6 and verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first what? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. How many of us still worry about tomorrow? We are also told in Matthew in chapter 10. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew in chapter 10, it tells us here to not even fear for our own lives. Verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in eternal death. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Our responsibility and God's promise is very, very clear. We must make God in the pursuit of this kingdom that we're all trying to pursue, trying to get into, an overriding priority in our lives. if we are wanting to live eternally with Him. The thing about it, though, is God will not force us. We must all come to Him willingly and obediently. Let's go to Psalms in chapter 111. Psalms in chapter 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Eternal is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Those are very powerful words. The fear of the Eternal. How should we, brethren, how do we fear God? You know, we all know about the dramatic story in the book of Genesis. Let's go back and review. We all know about it. God decides to test Abraham and instructs him to perform a specific task for him. In Genesis, in chapter 22, verse 1, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And in verse 2, and he said, Take now your son and your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." God was very well aware of how much Abraham loved and cherished his only son. He deliberately assigned Abraham a task that would test him like no other. Abraham had to choose between his son and God, and which one of them was first. In order of priority, what comes first? Does God come first, or does my son? You know, we learn what Abraham's choice was. In verse 6, let's go down to verse 6. "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of them went together." In verse 7, "But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for Himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Can we all, brethren, just for a little bit, can we all place ourselves in Abraham's place just for a minute and try to imagine the turmoil? Try to imagine the agony he must have gone through. Imagine your child laying on the altar of your hand about to strike with the knife. It's hard to really try to comprehend. This was the most severe trial for Abraham, but his decision had been made. His hand was on the knife, and he was determined to do what God had asked of him. And let's notice again in verse 12. Verse 12, "Now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." The bottom line here, brethren, is Abraham trusted God. He obeyed God, and he had complete, total faith in God. He was willing to perform any task that God asked of him, even to the point of sacrificing his own son. And because of all of this, Abraham was said to fear God. Do we, brethren, fear God? You know, I don't know about you, but there's been times with me that I have almost heard that angel in my mind telling me to do something, telling me to make a decision, telling me to just do it. You know, God is working with us in a different way today. But it's all the same, really. I can remember, you know, just getting up and moving to Oklahoma City in 1988, not knowing exactly what was in store, but just doing it because I felt like this is where God wanted me. You know, the phrase, fear God, is not referring to physical fear. It's not physical fear. God did not force Abraham to do what he asked. God doesn't force any of us. It's a choice that we have to make. And Abraham did not cower. He didn't go out and get into a corner. And, you know, he wasn't a coward at all. He went willingly. He went there. God told him. And he set about performing the task. Because of his faith and because of his trust, all of his descendants have been blessed because of that. Abraham feared God and had the utmost respect for him and his position as the Creator. We too, brethren, we need to certainly fear God, knowing He is our eternal Creator, and knowing that He did call us. Not a difficult thing at all to do in this world today. You know, Abraham also had absolute trust. He had absolute faith. He had confidence in God. God was first in Abraham's life, and he obeyed him without question. In the same way, brethren, God does not force us to come to Him. We have to come to Him. God calls each of us individually, and individually we must submit to the fear of God. Each of us also must have the utmost respect, the utmost complete trust and confidence and faith in God, placing Him in the proper place in our lives and not letting anything come between us and Him and the new unique relationship that we have with Him that exists. You know, at the same time, in order to properly fear God, we also must realize that there are penalties for disobedience to God's laws, for failing to do what He asks. And although God is not a cruel oppressor, penalties for disobedience can be severe. If you know what you need to do and you don't do it, usually there's consequences. Usually there, you know, it's something that could be sometimes severe. In some cases, we can even lose out on eternal life. God does not wish for any of us to lose out on our reward and in our trials and the tests that we go through, brethren. They're all designed to get our attention so that we will make the proper corrections in our actions and in our attitudes. We must be prepared for all times, brethren, at all times, to do anything that God may ask of us, just as Abraham did, who did not question, but simply went about what God asked of him without complaint. You know, how many of us struggle each day and still trying to make a decision? How many of us go to God and we know already in our minds what we need to do, but we just can't do it? We don't have the confidence. The confidence is just not there. It's something you have to just do and have faith and trust that God is going to be with you during that decision, and that decision, after it's all done, will be the right one. You know, there are going to be some very difficult times ahead, very difficult times before the return of Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. If we are to make it into God's kingdom, we must obey God without question. We must fear God fervently. Fear God. Believe and trust in God that He is going to deliver us from whatever trial we're going through. The knowledge and understanding that God gives us is only useful if we put it to use. If we only put it to use in our lives, knowledge is of no real value unless it is put to use. It makes you wonder how many of our talents are still buried or whatever, you know, that you know that you should do this, you know you should do that, You are the one that holds yourself up or back. You know, this is especially true in the respect of spiritual knowledge. You know, when God reveals this wonderful truth to us, we can come away with a greater sense of commitment. We can come away with a greater dedication and resolve towards God in this work that He has placed us in the Christian way of life in general that we live each day, that we try to strive to overcome. You know, and unless we use the knowledge that God gives to us, the people that He has called in this room, the people that just a few, just a small flock all over the world, unless we apply it in our life and circumstances, it can be lost maybe forever. How many do you know that are no longer here? You know, we all remember the saying, use it or lose it. You know, that's something that, you know, you've got to continue to just ask God to fill that empty hole that is in you. You know, that wonderful sermon we heard last Sabbath, Mr. Petting. You know, it's not a game that we play. It's serious business. We don't want that to happen with the truth of God that is in us. It takes, the bottom line, brethren, is it takes courage to be a true Christian. It takes a tremendous amount of courage to obey God in every way. It's not easy. Don't turn there, but you can write down 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of sound mind. That's something that we can take with us every day. That's something we can go to God with on our knees and ask for each day in an atmosphere that is devastating, that is always going to be against us. Faith does not come without courage, though, brethren. Faith does not come without courage. The spiritual war that we are in is real. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 3. I'll just go ahead and read what it tells us. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You know, there is, brethren, I know, there really and truly is a Goliath in every one of our lives. Whether it's a job, whether it's something to do with family, or an illness that you're battling. All along, God has told us we will have to face trials, we will have to face problems. And most of us all do, daily. I thought I was sick here just recently. I had a little case of strep throat, but I'm fine. I feel good now, I'm well. So many out there that are really suffering, aren't there? You know, God has a real way of humbling you, doesn't He? You know, how else can we grow in spirit and godly character without trials and without problems? There's no way that you can grow and build the godly character that God wants us to have. God will, brethren, He will give us the faith and the courage to face whatever comes our way. Just get on your knees and ask Him. But we have to yield to Him and we have to trust Him. So brethren, just be watchful, be courageous, be strong, and do not fear, because we all know that God is on our side.